and then the potato chips are going to fly. And so because this is such a horrible disaster, it's going to ruin the poor child's life. It is therefore necessary to go buy some easy open Ziploc bag so that mom can open the bag of potato chips and milk, transfer them into another bag so we can waste more plastic and fill up landfills faster and send it off with their child. And they made that commercial knowing that there are enough people out there who fear that anything bad might happen with their child, or anything even vaguely negative, they're going to go out and spend whatever on that bag of little Ziploc bags and transfer their stuff. Fear is a strong motivator. Fear gets us to do all kinds of things. Now, there are some things that we really do fear. We can snicker about a commercial about a bag of potato chips. But there are certainly many who live in fear of a new health care bill. There's many others who live in fear of keeping the old health care bill. We live in fear of conflict and war. That, I'm afraid, is a very realistic fear right now. We live in fear of terrorism. Imagine the poor folks in London right now and the fear that is gripping that city. What are the things that you fear? What are the fears that can drive you to make decisions? Fear can be a strong motivator. Some of them are just things that are out there. Death, taxes, you know. You may fear those things. They're out there. Hurricanes, storms. We in Central Florida know what that looks like. Those don't have a lot of influence on the day-to-day decisions of our lives unless you're a doomsday prepper and building a shelter out in the backyard and stocking it for 3 years. Most of us have a tendency to fear things that we're not in control of. And so, for instance, you see parents who are fearful of putting their kids on a school bus, even though statistically, actually, your kids are much safer in that big yellow bus than they are in your car. Or we fear getting on an airplane because you're not in control. The reality is, statistically, you are far safer in that airplane than you are on I-4, right? We all know that to be true. Jesus has some things to tell us today about what's really worth fearing and what's not worth fearing. And he said this, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can cast both soul, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now remember the background to this. Jesus has just sent a group of 70 disciples out to visit the various towns and villages around the area. The idea was that they would go and begin to tell them about Jesus' coming, that the Messiah is coming and the kingdom of God is at hand. Gave them power to cast out demons and cure the sick. But he told them that even with all that they received as good news, some would not receive them well. Some would not welcome them. And so they might have to shake the dust off their feet as they leave that town. But others might actually persecute them or harm them or perhaps even kill them. And so he's telling them, don't fear them. Don't fear the ones that can just bring you some kind of harm in the course of this life. That's not the ultimate thing to fear. Rather, fear turning away from God, turning away from our calling, serve something else finding ourselves separated from God. Because in the biblical understanding, that is really what hell means. Hell isn't just, you know, the devil with a pitchfork and flames burning at you. Hell is eternal separation from God. And the misery and terror and hopelessness that leads us. And so fear the one who can destroy us with that hopelessness, with that terror of being eternally separated from God. That's what we fear. But you see, our human thing is we fear what's right in front of us. We fear the thing we can look at and see. Many of you know I ride a motorcycle, and one of the things that I've had to teach myself in riding a motorcycle is to keep my eyes up. The natural temptation is to look at the ground right in front of you. I don't know why, but that's what it is. Other motorcycle riders are saying the same thing. The natural temptation is to look at the ground right there. That's not what's important. What's important is what's out there. Cars coming in from the side, people doing weird things, whatever. That's where the attention needs to be. And I've had to deliberately train myself to keep my eyes up and pay attention out there. Or we all know the old saw about the swamp, right? When you're up here in alligators, it's difficult to remember that the initial objective was to drain the swamp. We get caught up in the immediate fear of the alligators, and we forget the big picture. What Jesus is trying to do in talking to the disciples, and what these stories remind us of, is the importance of managing our fear by keeping the big picture. Unfortunately, fear is not one of those things that you can just switch off. You can't just decide, gee, I won't be afraid today. It doesn't work, does it? No, we learn to manage our fear by changing our perspective, by learning to get our eyes up, away from the turmoil that swirls around us, and see the big picture. See the eternal picture. See the horizon. Jesus understood that these 70 disciples that he was sending out would get caught up in the fear of what was right before them. When they're looking right in the eyes of that person who's not receiving their message and threatening to get a rock and cast them out of town, that's what they're going to fear in that moment. And he's reminding them, see beyond. See beyond that. Remember the eternal perspective. Now, the truth is, we rarely face what they were facing. We rarely are in a situation where somebody's going to pick up a rock and throw it at us because we are Christians. Although, we should remember that while we enjoy that kind of protection around the world, there is more death for the faith than at any other time in history. There are many who give their lives every year for the faith, far more than in the days of the early church. But we don't naturally take that eternal view. Our natural instinct is to be caught up in the thing that's right in front of us, the thing that we see right now. I remember speaking with the bishop that ordained me. I think I've probably told you this story before, but we were talking about some turmoil, some drama in the life of the church, some issue that was coming up. I don't even remember what it was. And the bishop leaned back in his chair and he said, "Eric, your salvation is secure." Now what he was doing was reminding me of that eternal perspective. There's always going to be turmoils that are going to stir around us. There's always going to be things to fear in the immediate circumstances of our lives. But he wanted to remind me, you know what? You are secure in God. Yes, the church can be a troublesome place sometimes. Yes, people do dumb things. Yes, people try to lead the church in bad directions. Yes, yes, yes. But our salvation, our connection to God, our redemption with God is secure. It is not threatened by the turmoil that swirls around us. So if we can keep that eternal perspective, then there's a second benefit. Because here's the other truth about fear. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it is a lousy decision guide. To let ourselves be controlled and guided by our fear actually leads to a lot of really bad decisions. And so if we're going to handle that thing that we fear, that thing that's coming up right in front of our face, it is really critical that we step back from the immediate fear and scan that horizon. Be deliberate about seeing the big picture that I am secure in Christ, and the big picture of the circumstances that surround us. It's the only road to making good decisions. So how do we do that? You know, when I come to this point in the sermon often, how do we live into the change that the scripture would call us to make? How do we take on this new attitude, whatever it might be? Today I'm talking about fear, but it might be a lot of other things. And you know what? There's no simple trick. There's no switch I can give you. There's no little three-word prayer that's going to solve it. It's the same basic stuff we need to do all the time. We need to gather together for worship because that reorients us toward those eternal values. We need to spend time reading the scripture because that's where we get that larger perspective of God's word, not just in my little life, but throughout history and the lives of thousands and thousands of others. So we read the scripture to understand how God has been at work, to keep our eyes up on that horizon. And we spend time in prayer seeking to understand those scriptures. And we gather together as a Christian church to support and encourage one another, to remind each other to keep your head up, look to the horizon, keep the big picture in your mind. We need to do those things. It's, you know, as I've said before, God is not sitting up there taking attendance on whether or not you show up at church. But when we don't, we lose that opportunity to be reoriented. We lose that opportunity to find that reconnection with God. And so we're the ones that lose. It's not that God's, you know, putting a little red mark by your name. But we lose that opportunity to have that reorientation process continue, because that's really the lifelong Christian discipleship road, is to seek that reorientation to God. And in the end, that's what's going to allow us to address the fearful things that are right in front of us. Whatever they may be, maybe a personal crisis, maybe a family crisis, maybe an economic crisis, maybe something out of our control, whatever it is. To address those things well requires that we keep that big picture. So when you come to those moments, remind yourself, I am secure in Christ. His love for me is unshakable. So whatever this thing is that's swirling around me, God is sure in the midst of it. And that doesn't mean we are insulated from pain and loss and suffering. Those things will come according to the condition of this life. But those things don't threaten us. Those things won't destroy body and soul in hell. Those things are temporary. When we know with confidence that we are secure in God, then we can address them, we can stare them in the face, not be controlled by them, and in the end, find ourselves